Blog Talk Radio.
Health. Health is a static process. You have health until you get sick, and then you take this med or this herb for that problem. You take this for that. On the other hand, wellness is a dynamic process. It's not a quick fix. It's a conscious decision you make daily to give your body what it needs to be well. When you supply your body or you supply your cells with the right nutrients, your cells can help keep you well. So which camp are you in? Static or dynamic? Health or wellness? This is Dr. Budweiser, and I'm coming to you directly from the Wiser Living headquarters, and I would like to welcome each and every one of you who have taken the time out to tune in to today's broadcast. Your time is valuable, and I am truly grateful for your participation. So over the next 29 minutes, I want to add to your wellness experience as well as mine. So first of all, please go to wiserliving.com. That's WEISERliving.com, and register so you can become a part of our Wiser Living group. The right side of that page is where you can sign up for several types of consultations. You can access the Wiser Living TV link and watch any of the YouTube videos we've uploaded. By subscribing, you'll get access to these educational videos as well as to be informed when a new video is uploaded. You can also access Wiser Living Radio to gain access to our library of archived podcasts. You can also view the menu bar that lists our mission and core values, seminar work and workshops, recipes, articles, and products. So all of this at wiserliving.com, WEISERliving.com. So check us out and register for free with your name and email address at wiserliving.com. Subscribe at Wiser Living TV. Follow us at Wiser Living Radio. Like us on Facebook.com/wiserliving. And connect with us on Google+, Twitter, Pinterest, LinkedIn, and Instagram. I think that's all of them. There's probably other ones, but I'm not going to mention them. I would like to start off by giving an overview of the typical menstrual cycle, since that's what we're talking about. Menstruation is a woman's monthly bleeding. It's when her body sheds the lining of the uterus. So menstrual blood actually flows from the uterus through this small opening in the cervix, and then it passes out of the body through the vagina. Now, most menstrual periods last from 3 to 5 days. Yes, I know there's some ones that last 8 days or 10 days or 2 days or whatever, but on the average, it's 3 to 5 days. When periods or menstruations, when they come regularly, this is called the menstrual cycle. Having regular menstrual cycles is a sign that important parts of the body are in good working order. So just by listening to your body, you can kind of find out what's going on inside of your body without having to go see a doctor or go to some clinic to get information from that. The menstrual cycle provides important hormones to actually keep you healthy. And this monthly process also prepares the body for pregnancy each month. And I say that because there are people that wish they didn't have periods. They want them to just go away. But you need these to be healthy. A cycle is counted from the first day of one period, from the first day of one period to the first day of the next period. And I know a lot of the millennials out there, they have these apps that actually chart all this stuff for you. But it's important to know that the cycle begins on the first day of your period, and it goes to the first day of the next one. So just knowing this is a wealth of information when it comes to implementing or practicing natural birth control. So you can actually practice natural birth control without all that other stuff. Now, why is that important? Because, you know, when you look at the average menstrual cycle is 28 days, and they can range from 21 days to 35 days in adults and 21 to 45 days in young teenagers. And the rise and fall of levels of hormones during that month control that cycle, that menstrual cycle. So in the first half of the cycle, the levels of the female hormone estrogen starts to rise. like even in a, like a moon cycle. You know, people go outside to see the moon and they don't see the moon. I mean, this it's all tied together, even with the tides coming in and out. So, once again, in the first half of the cycle, the levels of the female hormone estrogen starts to rise. Estrogen plays an important role in keeping you healthy, as I mentioned before, especially by helping you to build strong bones and to help keep them strong as you get older, especially when you reach the age of menopause. Estrogen also makes the lining of the uterus grow and thicken. It creates this kind of, like I call it, a bed. And the lining of the womb or the uterus is a place that will nourish the embryo if a pregnancy occurs. Now, at the same time that the lining of the uterus or the lining of the womb is growing, an egg in one of the ovaries starts to mature. Men, I want you to listen up right here on this one, because the women already know this. At about 14 days of an average 28-day cycle, the egg leaves the ovary, called ovulation. Here's why this is so important. After the egg has left the ovary, it takes a ride through this tube called a fallopian tube, and its destination is the uterus. Once again, the hormone levels rise and helps prepare the lining for pregnancy. Here's the exciting part. He says, this is like excited to me. Only the creator of everything would have put something like this together. It's mind-boggling to me. A woman is most likely to get pregnant during the 3 days before or on the day of ovulation. Out of nearly a month, 28 days, a whole month, a woman is most likely to get pregnant during the 3 days before or on the day of ovulation. Keep that in mind. Why? Because a woman with cycles, when those cycles are shorter or longer than the average ovulation period, which would be like 14 days, when it comes to natural birth control, I think this is amazing that there are approximately 3 days in a 28-day cycle that a woman can get pregnant, can actually get pregnant. That's such a small window. But when you look around, what do you see? You see all kinds of people, about 7 billion of them on this planet, and the great majority of them basically came through the small three-day window or that three-day opening. Think about that for a moment. So if you understand the female cycle, I'm talking to you guys out there already, if you understand the female cycle, you will know the days when there's no possibility that you get pregnant and the 3 days, when there is a great possibility to get pregnant. I think that's powerful. And why am I saying that? Because there's something else that goes on with women that can be really irritating, both to them and men, people like me. But when you get a handle on this thing, then you know what to do. You don't have to run to the gym or you know, go away from the person. You can actually be there and help them through it. We have this thing called PMS. And I don't really like the using the letter. You say the whole thing. You know, what is that? What is PMS? And why is it? Why does it happen? PMS stands for premenstrual syndrome. So it's the menstrual before. Menstruation is coming. And you know that because, I'll get into that a little later. Before menstruation, before bleeding, why do women go through PMS? Why are they irritable, easily upset, overly emotional, you know, have these feelings of depression? You know, and even though depression does not really cause PMS. When you think about it, and also you look at the scientific literature out there, you find that the exact causes of PMS is unknown. We don't even know why it occurs. There are some factors that contribute to this condition. Remember, PMS is the week prior to menstruation or bleeding. Some of the causes of PMS, like cramping or PMS cramping, can be due to hormonal imbalances, a poor diet, food allergies, emotional distress, thyroid problems, environmental toxins, toxins. You know, we have these toxins in the air, water, and food. You know, one of the many problems with PMS is that it can last as long as 14 days until menstruation begins. So what does that look like? If you menstruate for 3 to 5 days, and the following week you are recovering from bleeding, and you add the abnormal bloating, acne, anxiety, backaches, breast swelling and breast tenderness, fainting smells, fatigue, headaches, insomnia, altered sex drive, swelling of the fingers and the ankles. I mean, this goes on and on. This equates to only 1 week out of a month that everyone around that female is experiencing a normal week. Because there is a premenstrual week, or PMS. Next, there is the menstrual week. That's week two. And after that, it's recovery week. That's 3 weeks out of four that most females are normal. And that's, you only have 1 week a month, guys and women and girls, I guess, guys and girls, that you're really free to be, you know, to be you. But I'll share with you how that can actually change. So PMS actually affects menstruating women, obviously, but it also affects the husband, the kids, the coworkers, the cashier at the grocery store, the person in the car in front of you or behind you. This list can go on and on and on. And many times you just settle for taking something to calm you down. And if you're cramping, you take ibuprofen or aspirin, and what does that do? It will make you feel better, yes, but it's at the expense of depleting nutrients like folic acid, iron, potassium, sodium, and vitamin C. And if you are taking birth control pills, or you've taken birth control pills before to regulate your cycle or to prevent pregnancy, every time you take one of those meds, over-the-counter medication, every time you take one of those, you are depleting folic acid, magnesium, tyrosine, vitamin B2, B3, B6, B12, vitamin C, and even zinc. If I take a couple of these, just a couple of them, I'm not going to go through all of them because it's going to take too much time, but if I just take a couple of those nutrients that are being depleted, you can see the beginning of PMS. Taking birth control pills, ibuprofen, and aspirin will lead to headaches, fatigue, hair loss, insomnia, nausea, increased infections, emotional disturbances, underactive thyroid, disturbed metabolism. I know what you're thinking right now. You're saying that these symptoms can be caused by many other conditions. But when they are consistently linked to this specific time in a woman's menstrual cycle, they're usually grouped under the label PMS. If that's not enough, some researchers are suggesting that there's a connection between the systemic overgrowth of yeast and PMS. That yeast overgrowth can trigger PMS symptoms by activating an autoimmune response. That's your immune system going wacko. Just this autoimmune response to sex hormones such as estrogen, which is tied to the moon, which is tied to the energy level around us, and it affects everybody around you. So this research basically says that women consume, especially ones with PMS, having PMS issues, they consume more carbohydrates, refined sugar, dairy products, and more sodium than women eating the standard American diet, a sad diet. That's not even a good diet. Why? Because your skin is the largest organ in the body, or you're basically dealing with candida or yeast overgrowth. So let's put the skin to the side for a moment, because when you're dealing with yeast, it requires that you eliminate all the stuff that you're eating, sugar, sweeteners, corn syrup, white bread, soft drinks, all of those, most of those ready-to-eat cereals, and all the sweet snack foods. So if you want to get your yeast under control, you have to replace it with with well, you got to replace all of that, the processed foods and refined foods, with more vegetables, and that's any kind of vegetable that you can eat. Fats, healthy fats like omega-3 with vitamin D, pure virgin olive oil, avocados, coconut oil, grass-fed butter, and some healthy protein. Now, there's an oil that you can use called evening primrose oil, and I think it's a kind of expensive oil to use in, but it reduces PMS pain and increases fertility. I would like to let me shift gears here for a moment and talk a bit about feminine hygiene products, because the issue of safe feminine hygiene products or the options that you can buy or whatever is rarely discussed. I mean, it's hardly ever discussed, even though it's an important topic for roughly one third of the population, and you hardly ever hear about it. And this is where the skin comes in. The skin is the largest organ on your body, but it's also the thinnest. And so less than one-tenth of an inch separates your body from potential toxins. And it's kind of effective in doing it because they're out there, and you may be walking through it or smelling or what have you, but it doesn't really penetrate the skin. The skin keeps everything on the outside that should be on the outside, and it keeps everything on the inside that should be on the inside. But your skin is also highly permeable or porous or absorbent, especially the skin in and around the vaginal area. Anything in constant contact with your skin will land in your bloodstream for distribution throughout your entire body. Chemicals on your skin may be worse than eating them in processed foods or even on your toothpaste, because at least you have enzymes in your mouth and your stomach to help break down and flush chemicals from your body. But when they touch your skin, they are absorbed straight into your bloodstream, you know, basically going directly to your delicate organs. And once they're in your body, they accumulate because you typically lack the necessary enzymes to break them down. Feminine hygiene products are like a ticking time bomb, because you get all this exposure, this unnecessary exposure, as a result of what it's absorbing. The average American woman uses 16,800 tampons in her lifetime, each woman, or up to 24,360 if she's on estrogen replacement therapy. And that's just tampons. Many women use different types of sanitary pads along with tampons. And there's also nursing pads, which most of us don't think about. Now, conventional sanitary pads can contain the equivalent of 4 plastic bags of plastic chemicals. These pads may contain dioxins, synthetic fibers, and even petrochemicals. And if the pad is white in color, it's been bleached with chlorine, which can create toxic dioxin, collects in your fatty tissues in the body, which is going to lead to chronic conditions. But it'll never be traced back to the tampon or pad. And according to the Environmental Protection Agency, dioxin is a serious public health threat. And there's no safe levels of exposure. None. And most of us, men included, that put on a cotton, say, T-shirt, there's dioxin in that cotton. Why? Because most of the cotton is sprayed with chemicals. And what makes things even worse, conventional tampons contain pesticides, and they probably contain genetically modified organisms. 94% of all of cotton, at least in the United States, is genetically engineered. Tampons and pads with odor neutralizers and artificial fragrances are virtually a chemical soup that has artificial colors, polyester, adhesives, polyethylene, polypropylene, and propylene glycol. That's I think I was just had to pause it because I was thinking propylene glycol, that's in antifreeze. But anyway, all these contaminants are linked to hormonal disruption. They're linked to cancer. They're linked to birth defects. They're linked to vaginal dryness and infertility. Tampons create a favorable environment for bacterial growth. And then you get these micro tears in the vaginal wall from the tampons, which allow bacteria to accumulate, leading to chronic conditions. So many of today's feminine hygiene products contain rayon. And this stuff called Vicose, which makes rayon, and cellulose wood fluff pulp. So you got some wood in the tampon. You got all this stuff there, and it contains all of that and not cotton, especially organic cotton. I hope you heard me there. The tampon actually looks like it's cotton, but it doesn't contain hardly any cotton. And then rayon and Vicose present a potential danger because of their highly absorbent fibers, which can stick to the walls of your vagina. Then when you remove the tampon, the toxic loosened fibers stay behind, stay behind, and then it's just an accumulation over years. I mean, there's usually you go and get a pap smear, and they say you're precancerous because it's different. You got cells in the wrong place. The cervical cells of the cervix are in the area where the vaginal wall is. And then they keep testing and testing to see what's going on. And just think, these fibers, these minute fibers, are there for months, years, decades, and then you have some kind of issue. And, they say, okay, let's give you a total hysterectomy or what have you. So there is another thing that you can do. There are alternatives, so to speak, like, obviously, organic cotton. But not only organic cotton, just because it's white, that means it's been bleached with chlorine. So you want organic cotton, chlorine-free tampon. Organic cotton, chlorine-free tampons. Or a cup. There's a cup called the Diva Cup that I'll give you a little bit of information on, but well, maybe I should do it now. The Diva Cup is very effective and hygienic because it's convenient. The cup can last 5 to 10 years. You know, I'm talking 5 to 10 years longer than the so-called conventional pads and tampons. You save money because you're not buying pads and tampons each month. You avoid harsh chemicals because the pads and tampons are a toxic hazard. And when you're using a menstrual cup, it's approximately 60%. I think this is really, really interesting because approximately 60%, 6 out of 10 women experience leakage every month. 60%, 6 out of 10 every month when using tampons and pads, both. And you don't have this issue when you're using a menstrual cup. The average woman discards something like 250 to 300 pounds of pads and applicators in her lifetime. That's like 12 billion tampons each year. Not so with the menstrual cup. You get extra hours between changes. A normal tampon holds about 6 to 9 grams. Liquid, while a cup holds almost 5 times that amount. It decreases your risk of toxic shock syndrome, and most of you know this. You know, a few decades ago, when this was like the rave of the century, and then they found out that it was due to the synthetic cotton in the tampons or the pads. There's no more itchy rashes with the menstrual cup. You get uninterrupted sleep. You don't have to put a towel, on the bed and that you lay on. You can enjoy a sports activity. I mean, there's There's a big list. I mean, it's overwhelming. I think, but there's a blog post written on this that you can access at wiserliving.com, and it's titled 13 Reasons Why You Should Get a Menstrual Cup and Ditch Tampons and Pads Forever, and it's written by Tina Hawkins. So you need to really go and check that out because it's in depth. I mean, I really don't have enough time to go through it. I could spend our whole time just on that, and it's very important, ladies out there. So do take a look at that at some point during this upcoming week before you forget about it. Now I want to go back to PMS here because I want to try to share, I guess, an important, I don't know if it's a secret, but I feel it's a secret because I've been giving this to this information to women for 18, 19 years. If you take an extra B-complex vitamin the week before your period, it should replace the B vitamins that have been depleted. And the week before your period, your body is chewing up B like crazy. It needs a lot of it because it's preparing itself for the week of menstruation. So if you take, say, four standardized plant source vitamin mineral supplement, like Phytomatrix, Plant Matrix, if you do this the week before your period, you take one extra. So if you're taking four a day, so for that week, you take five. That's the week before your cycle begins. And just by doing this, your menstrual cycle will look like this. The first week will be, let's say, the recovery week. Let's say you had your cycle. The week after your period is the recovery week. And this is because you're not taking an extra B vitamin. Then the second week is a normal week. Then the third week is premenstrual week. You're going crazy and you're having all these issues, and most people around you don't understand why you're acting like that. And then the fourth week, you menstruate. So what are we looking at here? 1 week, you're menstruating. Another week, you're recovering from menstruating. Then another week, you're actually in premenstrual syndrome week. So basically, that's 3 weeks you're going through this highly volatile, space. And then 1 week out of a month, that's 12 weeks out of a year that you are actually a normal person. 12 weeks a year. And just by taking an extra B vitamin or B complex, all of the Bs, for 1 week before your cycle, if you do that, this is what it looks like. You have week one, let's have the week when you're bleeding. During that bleeding week, you have your pre-bleeding week of that premenstrual syndrome thing. It's in that week. You also have menstrual in that week, and you also have recovery in that week. So now 1 week, you're out of sorts, but you have 3 weeks of freedom. That is 3 times 12 is 36. That's 36 weeks a year that you are a vibrant, excited individual. And 12 weeks a year, you're going through the uncomfortable feeling and you're bleeding and then you're recovering from it. Out of everything I said in the last 29 minutes, this is the most important. Ladies out there, obviously you want to change your diet, get more vegetables and good proteins and healthy fats in your system. But taking that extra B-complex vitamin will do you a world of difference. You won't have that premenstrual irritating feeling before the week before. Yes? And with that, I'm going to have to bring this to a close. I think this was at least it was an exciting program for me. Guys out there, this is something that you should really study up on. You need to listen to this broadcast, once again and again and again. And remember this, let your food be your medicine and let your medicine be your food. This is Dr. Budweiser. No more premenstrual week. We'll see you next time.